Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and this week's online video picks are up on our website, and they are mostly musical this week. See Arlo Guthrie's new version of Changing My Name to Chrysler for the new bailout era, and it's Proposition 8, the musical. In our online video picks, go to wnyc.org/video. You'll definitely enjoy them this week. Among the targets of the terrorist attacks in Mumbai 2 weeks ago was a 124-year-old synagogue where gunmen killed Rabbi Gabriel Holzberg, his pregnant wife, and four other Jews. India has been home to Jews for more than 2,000 years, unbeknownst to a lot of other people. And as it turns out, here in New York, Ramil Daniel from Mumbai is the president of the Regal Park Jewish Center in Queens and the first Jewish Indian to head a U.S. synagogue. So let's find out more about this little-known community with Ramil Daniel. Welcome to WNYC. Thank you very much for coming on.
Hey.
So how many other Indian Jews are there in the United States or in the world?
Well, in the United States itself, we have about 350 Indian Jews all over the country. In India itself, today, it's a little less than 5,000. In Israel, it's a little more than 70,000, most of them having migrated from India right after India got its independence in 1947 and when Israel became a state in 1948.
What's the historical origin of the Indian Jewish community?
Basically, there have been three major Indian Jewish communities through the centuries. We had the Jews from Cochin in the south of India, who came around 175 BCE during the aggressions of Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a Syrian Greek ruler at the time. The Bene Israel, a community I belong to and the largest community in India, came down to India at around the same time. That's 175 BCE. And the third community were the Baghdadi Jews, which means essentially they came from Baghdad. But originally they came first from Syria and then from Baghdad. And they came in the year 1790. These three comprise the largest Jewish communities in India, totaling a little more than 35,000 at the time of independence in 1947.
And the population of the Jewish Center in Regal Park, where you're the president, is that Indian Jews?
No, the Regal Park Jewish Center is an Ashkenazi synagogue. I've been the president there for the last 5 years. The Indian Jewish community is sort of concentrated in the New York, New Jersey area, but not essentially in any one county or in any one area. They're sort of dispersed in this area. So we have about 300 of them in the New York, New Jersey area.
So people do get confused when they meet you because there are a lot of Indians in that part of Queens and there are a lot of Jews,
yes.
But usually the twain doesn't meet.
Exactly. I've been asked that question quite often. How could you be Jewish if you're an Indian? And I try and tell them that, you know, being an Indian is, of course, a nationality. Being Jewish is a religion. And India has been host to so many different religions over the centuries that none of us really, nor none of the Jews who have been in India have ever felt that they're outsiders. They've always been part of the Indian community. And we feel that, well, we've always felt that we are part of the Indian subcontinent, and not any different from the others who are there, whether they are Muslims or Hindus or Christians or the Buddhists or whomsoever we've had there.
You were raised in Mumbai, correct?
I was raised in Mumbai. I studied in Mumbai. I got my degree from the University of Bombay. And then I came down, of course, to Brandeis and did my master's in chemistry.
And growing up there, what were the relationships like between Jews and Muslims in the city?
You know, it's surprising. They were extremely good because where we were living, there were, of course, apartment buildings. We had Christians and Muslims and Hindus, mostly Christians and Muslims, because most of the Jewish synagogues in India, in Mumbai especially, are in the heart of the Muslim areas. It's the same today. We have 29 synagogues. Today we have about 12 in Mumbai, right in the heart of the Muslim area. And even as of today, even as what happened, say, in the Middle East, the Jews in India have never had a problem with any of their neighbors, be they Muslim or Hindu or Christian.
Do you know anyone who was killed in the attacks?
Not di- directly, of course, we knew about, Rabbi Gavriel Noach Herzberg, because he was very active in the community there, especially amongst those who were coming from outside India. But even within the Indian Jewish community, he built the second mikveh in one of the synagogues in Israel, in India, called the Tiferet Israel Synagogue. A mikveh is something which, most Jews need, especially before the holidays and on a Friday afternoon. And he was responsible for building that. But directly, I have not been affected as such. I have my brother-in-laws there. They belong to a firm of lawyers, but they were not affected directly. I think this attack was primarily to showcase that foreigners, Americans, British, those coming from more stable democracies were the target. And therefore, they attacked also the Chabad house, which was primarily Jewish, to show that they also had anti-Jewish feelings.
Anti-Jewish in general, right? Not just because they were Lubavitcher or Brooklyn, U.S. based, but anti-Jewish, period.
Yes, it was anti-Jewish, period. But this was like an outstanding, I wouldn't say an outstanding, but a symbol of Jews who would be noted or known better in the Western world and the outside world.
Because of their clothing and
because of the clothing, because they're ultra-Orthodox and easily identifiable as Jews. And therefore they attack this very nondescript Chabad house, which is in virtually one of the back streets of Bombay, of Mumbai, behind the Taj Mahal Hotel. So unless somebody had really earmarked it for an attack, nobody really would have even noticed this building.
You're a cantor, aren't you?
That's right. I studied at Yeshiva University.
And in a few minutes, we're going to play a little sample of your music as we end the segment.
Okay.
But when you sing at the Rigo Park Jewish Center to this mostly, white Ashkenazi Jewish congregation, do you sing with an Indian accent?
When I sing at the Ashkenazi synagogue, which is Rigo Park, I try and simulate the Ashkenazi accent, because what I studied at Yeshiva University was Ashkenazi cantorial music. So that's what I use when I sing at the Rigo Park Jewish Center. When I conduct the services for the Indian Jewish community for the high holidays, the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Simchat Torah, that's totally Indian. So I have to sort of differentiate between the two.
That's pretty funny. You go back and how you enunciate the same words.
It's totally, it's very different, I would say. The word, the pronunciation is totally different. The melodies are totally different, and the trope is totally different. It makes an interesting mix at times.
How are Jews, outside of this incident, normally treated in India? Of course, there's such a long history of discrimination against Jews as minority groups in Europe. And I wonder what the history is like in India.
As I've always said in the lectures which I've given in the United States, this is the only country in the world where Jews have never suffered a Holocaust. They've never been discriminated on the basis of their religion or their color or whatsoever. And therefore, you find many Jews who have left the country still going back to the country, to their homeland, virtually they call it, feeling very much at home and being accepted there. And I don't even use the word accepted. I say, well, we are part of the country. We don't have to be accepted. We are Indian. And that's what makes us so proud of being Jewish in India, that unlike what has happened in the West or in so many other countries, we have never really known what a Holocaust is. We've never known what discrimination is. And that has made us feel extremely proud of India.
Do you think that there are some reasons that you can put your finger on that Jews haven't suffered the kind of discrimination in India that they have everywhere else?
India, till very recently, was always a very accommodating country. It was very accepting of all religions. As you can see in India, we have Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Sikhs, any religion which you can think of, we have there. It has always been the dogma of the government of India and its people that if you practice a religion, well, it's no different, because we all pray really to the same God virtually. And if you're praying in a particular manner, that's your business, you do what you want. Nobody interferes in your way or your style or your rituals or customs. And that has been, I think, the characteristic of the Indian in general, that he is very accepting, especially when it comes to religion, because as you know, the East is always more spiritually inclined as compared to the West. which many people feel is more materialistic. And therefore, this has led to a higher rate of, or higher degree of tolerance and acceptance than you find in other countries. Same with the Jews. I mean, it was just one more religion which came into the country 2,000 years ago. And it has never been a cause of any discontent or worry to the Indian population in general, no matter which community they belong to.
And now, going forward, after these attacks?
Well, after these attacks, as far as the Indian Jews are concerned, I don't think they really have any cause to worry. Though some people say, oh, you know, there is cause for fear, I really doubt there is any cause for fear. Because these attacks which took place really came from outside the borders of India. People who were just terrorists bent on killing anybody and everybody who represented a successful democracy. And India is primarily a cause also of jealousy for some of the neighbors, because it has been tremendously successful in the last few years, especially economically. It's made tremendous strides. It has a growth rate which is around 9%, which is one of the highest in the world. And
now, let me jump in, because we're running out of time and I want to get a little of your music in. Cantor
okay.
Rami L. Daniel, originally from Mumbai, is the president of the Regal Park Jewish Center. He has made a CD of Indian Jewish prayers for Sabbath and Yom Kippur. We're going to hear a track called Az Yashir. So I guess this is in the Indian style, yes?
That's right.
All right, so we will hear this music to go out today. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Cantor Daniel, it's been a great pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for coming on with us.
Thank you very much.
Kedish ba'ad Daniel, Az Yashir Moshe Israel Hashirah, Zot Ladonai, Az Yashir Moshe Israel Hashirah, Zot Ladonai.